you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
We are back. This is The Thing About Cars, and I'm one of your hosts, Mickey Desai. Around the table, we've got today ever faithful Dave. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Excellent. And the ever resplendent Dawn, how are you?
I'm awesome.
And the ever
recumbent.
Ever recumbent Ben, how are you, Ben?
Oh yes, very recumbent today.
So let's harass Ben for a second here. What happened? Why are you in repose?
Well, Friday night, I strained my back really, really bad. It was one of those things where I wasn't doing anything particularly strenuous, not lifting anything heavy. I just made the wrong move at the wrong time, and a bolt of pain shot up from my left hip, and it was so bad, I just couldn't really do anything without a whole lot of pain, could barely move. Mm. Saturday, after sleeping on it a bit and deciding that the over-the-counter NSAIDs were not helping one bit, I went to see the doc in the box, and they gave me a couple shots and some prescriptions, and I feel a little better now, and I'm recovering, and I'm going to take this week off work because, my job is a little physical.
Sure.
So instead of sitting at the nice table I usually sit at to record, I'm in the big comfy chair in the living room, and all is right at the moment.
So basically your prescription is to take drugs and relax?
Yeah.
Can't argue with
that's
that.
That's about all you can do with a back, because you left out one variable: wrong position, wrong way, wrong age.
Yeah,
something like that, I guess. But
I'm not going to tell you how embarrassed I was to pull my muscles across the right side of my back when I was shampooing the other day. Yeah. I was like,
wrong position,
wrong time,
wrong age.
I'm like, I'm in hot water. I mean, anyway, it was just totally
as little hair as you have. Shampooing really should be a breeze.
Exactly. Right.
How much resistance does your hair put up?
I think there's not a fiber of my body that's just not stubborn in some way. I think that's just it. Well, I'm sorry to hear you're in pain, but I'm glad you've got good drugs and can relax in a comfy chair. That's good. And I hope it heals up quick.
Thank you. And having such awesome friends to make jokes about it really helps too.
After cures, that's for sure.
Trust right us. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Bring it.
Show is young, Lawler. Show is young.
All right. So, Ben, you've got our trivia segment for the day.
Trivia. Yes, I do.
Grand Trivia Auto.
Yeah. And we were at Italian Car Day last weekend. And, that Italian cars will put one in a very contemplative mood because they're so, just so damn sexy and fast and all that. Well, most of them are. But it got me thinking, and there was only one Pantera present for the whole show that I noticed anyway. Yeah. Of course, we all remember the Pantera, that beautiful thing that came out in the late 60s and was made through, actually was made through 92.
Yep.
But it got me thinking. And so today's trivia question is that Pantera is an actual word in the Italian language. Is it A type of bread, B, a particularly stylish type of trousers, C, a panther, or D, a small village on the Amalfi Coast?
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Should I read those again for anybody?
I got them. Is anybody else?
I got them.
I think. Okay. Yeah. I think you're good.
Okay.
All right.
Got it. Pantera. And I like those cars. I kind of hope, whatever happened to the company, do we know?
I think De Tomaso just kind of shriveled up and died like a lot of small producers.
That's sad.
I can't verify that right now, but I think that's the case. Yeah, they never were a really big company.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, in a world where people keep recycling old ideas, I would welcome that one back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we don't have a guest today, which is unfortunate, but it's the four of us, so we're just going to have a good time, and I'm going to grind some gears here. You ready for this? I might have a couple things here, and we might have a car question, too. So the first thing that grinds my gears is And correct me if I've done this one before, if we've tried to let me vent on this thing before, but people who keep their high beams on in the rain, or in general, that just gets me. I don't know why it gets me so hard, but I'm like, turn those things off. You're blinding everybody else, not to mention yourself if the rain is hard enough, and it's just not helping people. So high beams in the rain, keep your lights on, but keep the high beams off. That's the thing that I want to say about that. And I wish I could broadcast to those cars that are driving around with their high beams on in the rain.
So now that we've got the, you know, you put it on auto and the lights come on, you know, as soon as you get in the car, are there any cars or any manufacturers that are coming out with like automatic dimmable lights or something that would switch whenever the weather is inclement? Because, you know, sensors are all over cars now. Why couldn't it detect that and lower the beams oncoming vehicles, again, sensors?
Well, yeah, and I don't think any of these systems are sophisticated enough to be weather controlled, but I know that the automatic lighting on a lot of the current cars now will automatically dim the high beam. Because the way they work is, you know, I don't remember what year this started, not very long ago, but most of the current cars, if you look on their headlight switch, they have an auto setting and you can just leave it there and it's fine. And in the auto setting, it will automatically turn on the high beam in a particularly dark space. And if it detects an oncoming car, it will dim it. It's a little more aggressive with the dimming than I prefer, or rather it's not as aggressive enough with turning the high beam on as I would prefer. Because I've seen some of the ones I've driven as rental cars, sometimes if a bright enough reflection from a sign bounces back, it'll dim it. And you pretty much have to be in the middle of the black void of space before it will turn the high beam on in most cases.
Okay. So there is hope.
There is hope, yes.
This technology has been around since the 70s. Because I remember seeing television stories on the news about how this guy had actually developed a light high beam dimmer that would do this and couldn't get anyone to buy it in the 70s because it added like, you know, $7 to the production of a car. And the margins were that tight that none of the big automakers would look at it.
That wasn't the first, actually.
It wasn't.
GM offered this as an option on Cadillacs in the late 50s. It's a little thing, little periscope looking thing that stuck up from the top of the dashboard. You still had to turn the lights on manually, but this thing would auto dim them. I don't know how well it worked, and I don't know how long it lasted as an option.
Well, this is silly then. And I'll tell you, building on that, Mickey, what really grinds my gears is these new halogen lights that are different than the old bulbs, and your eyes just can't get, they're just so intense.
Are they the LEDs you're talking about, Don?
The LEDs, right. Yep. The LEDs.
Some guy in a dropped Acura yesterday who was coming up behind me, and not only were his headlights super bright LEDs, but he had one of those light bars across the front of his grill. And it was just an excessive amount of light coming off that thing. It lit up the entire, section of the freeway, not just his lane. And I'm like, why? I mean, is your penis really that small? And
well, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
I get people want, they want the newest technology and energy, blah, blah, blah. But man, can someone manufacture one that doesn't just literally looks so crazy? I mean, they're just so bright.
In the last few years, I heard a report about some team that was working on some kind of laser-driven technology that could actually light up areas of the road and not others. So it could calculate where you were in an oncoming car and stop the light and stop the projected light from hitting you. And they said allegedly it could also do rainfall, like in light rainfall, it could illuminate everything but the rain, which I thought was really impressive technology. And then I've never heard anything about it again.
Well, that's still in the works. This is some years away from real world application as yet. But from what I've seen, the prototype units they're working with kind of look like the compound eyes on bugs.
Yeah.
I think what it's probably going to amount to is a whole lot of little LED cells on the lens. that can be, you know, individually darkened. And of course, it's a sophisticated computer program that controls all this, you know, reads what the sensors are, you know, feeding back to it.
Right.
Of course, then, you know, you're just running head to head about two different constituents of groups. So they're talking about the people who choose to be courteous drivers and want to, you know, not blind other drivers versus the other ones that really want the light bar and the underlighting and the laser lighting and are basically trying to you know, put the entire technology package for Tadashi trucks onto their car to illuminate and capture attention.
Right, exactly.
And you know, we all like embellishments. I mean, everybody likes to be bedazzled with whatever, whether it's jewelry or bling or what have you. I mean, it's just hard when it affects everyone around them, when they're coming, it's coming at you. That's the tough part.
Right.
You said the magic word though, when we talk about, because the Jeep is not really all that embellished, but you know, now that Ben said it, I really want the car to have a periscope.
Hey, yeah.
I would love to have a periscope coming out of the top of the Jeep. You know,
yes.
It would really help those days that I played German U-boat captain while driving to work.
You know, Dave, do you have one of those snorkels on your car? You know, the whole air intake that's above the windshield thing?
I do not. I do not. In the Jeep, I have the top down so often. I don't need to do anything to add more air coming into it.
Right.
Oh, anyway, that's what's grinding my gears with regard to the high beam thing. I mean, I have a light bar on my car. I have a tiny, teeny little one row LED strip in the front of my car that I use when I'm visiting Jen's relatives in LJ because there's the lights up there and it helps to light up the dirt roads, you know, to go to families' homes and stuff like that. But on 285, come on. Really?
You know, yesterday I was out driving in the Jeep in a vain search of a car fuse. And there was a Jeep in front of me and I was looking at its back, the back mount tire. And they had actually installed additional LED turn signal lighting inside the tire. So it wasn't enough that there was a highlight for the brake and a turn signal on the right. The tire was flashing at me like it was trying to invite me to a wedding chapel in Vegas.
Okay. So are we just getting like to be old fuddy-duddies here?
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn and give me my auto parts. Speaking of which, Dave, you went to a Pep Boys recently?
Well, yeah, you know, so this was kind of my grind my gears is that yesterday I needed I still need a fuse for the Jeep that my rear window defogger is not working and I've diagnosed it needs a fuse. And that's the kind of thing that you don't think about. Well, at least I never thought about going into or having buying online. That's the kind of thing you run into an auto parts store and it's like $4 and you buy one. And I walked into the Pep Boys that is near our house and they no longer are selling auto parts. This decision was apparently made over the summer. They're now strictly a tire and service store. They're not, and I'm sitting there Googling this admittedly while driving and like, you know, Hey Siri, what the hell happened to Pep Boys?
And she's like, yeah, that's what we've been all asking for the last 3 months. Right.
Well, and, you know, and so I'm like, came back and like, okay, well there's not a Napa all that close to me. There's not another auto parts store all that close to me. So it's like, okay, I'll go on online. I'll buy them on Amazon. And of course, what does Amazon first offer you? It's like, you know, here's a case of 140 automotive fuses for $8. And I'm like, I don't need 140 automotive fuses. I need one 10 amp fuse. And like at one point I wound up, you know, I spent the equivalent of the 140 fuse kit to buy the one 10 amp fuse I needed just because I don't want to store the other 139 effing fuses.
Right. It's like walking into a Costco or a Sam's or whatever. It's like, I just want six damn pieces of toilet paper. I don't want 600. I just want six rolls. That's it. You know, that, not 600 rolls.
This is how I will know that I have arrived at the old and insane point. Because, you know, it's like when you start buying in bulk, just in case, when my parents, when I moved my parents to assisted living, they had room dividers made out of toilet paper. And I texted my parents or my siblings and said, I've seen how all of us are going out alone in a insane in a house full of Schwann's frozen pot pies.
Oh, yes. Now, don't diss the Schwann's. They're actually really good, and they do keep a long time.
Of course they're really good. They have like 2.5 pounds of olive oil and fat in each one.
And salt. They are Minnesotans. They have their salt. But are we just going to grind gears today?
Yeah, let's just grind gears together.
What the hell? Right.
Yeah,
because you're right, Dave. It's really annoying when you walk in someplace and it's just totally different. But my grinding gear has got to do with these drivers on the road right now.
Okay, hold on, Don. Before we do that, I need to wrap up the parts thing.
Because
I did not know. I mean, I've never patronized a Pep Boys out of choice, right? They've never really been high on my list on places to go to get things. But and I've been lucky enough all my life to have a variety of auto parts store within a 5-mile radius of my home. So, you know, Napa and Advance and what O'Reilly's, and there's one other that I can't think of at the moment, but I'm so used to going to those things that going to a Pep Boys, which I hate these terms that I'm throwing around all of a sudden. I don't mean to sound this demeaning, but Pep Boys is always like the Walmart of auto care in general, right?
They've never really impressed me that much as an auto parts store, to be honest. Right. It was always just kind of on the crappy side, which is a shame because, you know, their whole branding shtick is so cute. But
well, the thing, you know, I don't know about the branding, but they had the potential to do more instead of hitting the lowest common denominator variable like they did so well. It's like, yeah, you know, they're providing really cheap service and really cheap quality service to people. They could have provided halfway decent service and some smidgen of integrity for slightly more money, which I think most people I know who drive cars would have preferred. But they didn't choose to do that. So, and as a result, now they're not selling parts in general, which I was shocked at. So, you know, I don't know. Somewhere I wonder if there's a political, this weird political connection to the whole right to repair debate. Are they getting out of the market because people simply aren't repairing their cars anymore?
Well, you know, this is an interesting point because, you know, never having really paid attention to it, I never picked my auto parts suppliers based on anything other than proximity, mm-hmm, because most of what I do is routine maintenance, is changing fuses, changing filters, changing wiper blades. I'm not rebuilding a Lotus, you know, from the recliner in my den.
I don't think Ben is either right now.
Hey, don't laugh. I've been known to put parts in the refrigerator or freezer to shrink them for interference steps.
I cannot tell you what my partner would do to me if he came in and opened up the freezer and found, like, you know, a fuel pump sitting in there, you know, shrinking so right next to the steaks, the limoncello.
Although, and this is something that definitely happened when I was in my bachelor days, I had this motorcycle once that I had to do some major engine work with, and there was a cam chain drive gear on the crankshaft that would not come off. And somebody said, oh, well, just, you know, chill it overnight, and then the next morning put some heat on that gear, and, you know, the difference between the two, it ought to pop right off. Of course, I couldn't get the crankshaft out of the crankcase, so I basically had most of a motorcycle engine in the bottom of my refrigerator in this apartment that I lived in. And yeah, I've got a picture of this somewhere. And the next morning I pulled it out onto the floor, hit that gear with a torch, and it still didn't come off. I eventually had to cut it off.
Damn, Ben.
But yeah.
You actually, in that entire story, Ben, you hit the key term early in the story. That word yes. would be bachelor.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Because once you get married, after the first 12 months, the term what the hell's the matter with you is bandied around freely.
That's not staying in my refrigerator. That's what Jennifer would have said. Get that thing out of there. Ain't a pot roast.
Right. But anyway,
I think the Mickey, to your point, I think in terms of the right to repair, if Pep Boys was going after the low cost leader, the low end, the Walmart market, that's the retail market that Amazon is hitting particularly hard. Yeah. And right there, I couldn't get it at Pep Boys. Instead of driving someplace, I came home and said, okay, I'll order this cheap part on Amazon.
Right.
Well, plus if their retail environment, just either because of bad merchandise or whatever, turned people off, then they went to the competition. That's what I did. Yeah. And, the Pep Boys was closer to me than any other. There's one right up the street from me, but I will gladly drive a little further to go to the Advance that's much further down the street. Their competition was so much better, I think, was the main reason.
Yeah.
And I have to give a shout out to O'Reilly's, because that's our nearest auto part. And yeah. I went in for the CLK battery to be replaced, and Mercedes puts its batteries in some really difficult places to get them out. We could not get that sucker out. This amazing salesperson came out, and she just started working on the car. She's like, we're figuring everything out. She and I are just going at it for 2 hours to get the thing out and another hour to get the damn thing back in, because there's a tie down on the bottom part of the battery where it's like this little latch that you have to put over the bottom of the battery, and then you have to screw it down, and you need an extender with a wrench on it. And we're just pulling parts out of O'Reilly's, and she's like, I'll be right back. That was amazing. That, that in itself, it's like I wanted to do it myself. She knew that I didn't have everything I needed, and she was willing to help me do it myself. It was, do it together. It was really kind of cool. We're sitting there in the parking lot. So that was kind of fun.
So Don, you were saying about the drivers these days, things are going more crazy than usual.
Yes. And it's like, I wish I don't have Challenger, Charger envy or what's the Honda Civic. I just don't have the envy. It's not the vehicle. It's not even the fastness of it. If it is Sunday afternoon and there's nobody on the road and you want to go 100 miles an hour, it's not about that. It's just, you're going down the road, and just the other day, I'm going up 75. It's rush hour. It's me. It's a 18-wheeler and a dump truck. So the 18-wheeler was in the right hand. And I always leave a little distance. I don't like to be like right if I don't have to be right on an 18-wheeler, because you never know what's going to happen to them.
Right.
And then there was a dump truck in my lane, about an 18-wheeler and a car ahead of me. I saw out of like my rear view mirror, this flash of a gray metallic just coming up 75 like crazy. He slid in between, and we were only going 45 miles an hour because there was traffic. He slid in between me and the 18 wheeler, and then between the 18 wheeler and the dump truck. And I know there's tons of adrenaline. It's like, it's a rush. It's blah, blah, blah. But man, there were so many cars. It was so dangerous. And I'm seeing this more and more, is that people are taking these risks. I mean, we were going up to celebrate Chris's parents' 65th anniversary yesterday morning. And this car came from nowhere, switched four lanes over, four lanes back. And I'm surprised was able to keep going. And I think these people think they know what they're doing, but it's so close. It's really upsetting, because as someone who loves to drive and follow the law, it's really frustrating. I haven't looked at statistics, but something intuitively tells me that I think deaths from cars has really gone up in the last 18 months.
I would not be surprised.
But I haven't looked it up. So I'm as someone that loves statistics, I'm not wanting to make an assumption, but it's really frustrating. And they don't realize they're just being dangerous, and they're racing each other still. Like I had two Honda Civics racing each other up 85 the other day. And it just, it's really annoying. I don't know how, I mean, someone's going to get hurt really bad. Well, and if they're not dead, they're going to be in a wheelchair for life. And that's just not right.
Well, that's the thing. I don't mind. I mean, you know, that it's the part where innocent people get hurt, and that's the worst part of that entire equation. But I must confess, Don, I'm no angel. I have been that driver before. And as I get older, I realize I'm not that driver anymore, but there's still the occasional moment where I just want to get out there and put my foot in it. And I
get that. I just wish we were thinking about how to address this, because I've never seen it this much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was occasional before the pandemic. Now it is unbelievable. I mean, single time I've been on the highway, and I'm now on the highway 3 days a week.
Relevant to pandemic, I have seen a thing about that. Somebody did a statistic for 2020, and I wish I could remember where I saw this. It was just last week, that said that that while total incidents were not as dramatically increased as you might think, the amount that that was speed related really did go up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Georgia Department of Transportation statistics right now. In 2019, there were 1,500 fatal crashes. And in 2020, there was a 13% jump to around 1,700 fatalities, even though the number of cars on the road were much lower in 2020. Hmm. In fact, there was a headline, earlier this year, that said 2020 was the largest number of traffic fatalities since 2007 in Georgia.
Wow.
And that's all. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to spoil anybody really, you know, taking their car in performance. But, you know, if you're going to do it, go take 16. I mean, don't do it on 285. And it's just so frustrating. I don't know. I'm grinding my gear big time.
Yeah.
I do understand driving fast on 16 because it is the second most boring highway in the universe.
Right.
It is definitely a drudgery. But all right. So anyway, good gear grinding today. I don't know what the solutions are, and I'll try not to hurt anybody next time I put my foot in it.
I don't know, but the four of us are crabby enough. This show should be sponsored by Metamucil.
Although I will say, Dave, going back to the Pep Boys, you know, on Amazon, you can put the cars that you own. There is a profile. And yes. When you order a part, last time I ordered some hydraulics for our back of the SUV for the Mercedes GL, it actually said, this is not the part you're looking for. This is the part you're looking for. It will run your request through your car so that you're not ordering something for the wrong size SUV or car.
I did discover that yesterday. Once I waded through all of the, you know, Fuse multi-hundred packs, I did find, you know, like three screens in. It's like, well, tell us what car you've got. And I put it in. Like, oh, you want this.
And then it saves it for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool.
Then again, it's also one more thing Amazon knows about me.
I know. Yeah, that's true.
I'm afraid of what Amazon knows about me, given my recent search history.
I will pay you money to change the topic.
Ben, right. Do you have a gear to grind, or is it just your back? It's like it's just ground into your back anyway.
Oh, just too many to choose from at any given moment.
Well, Ben, if you don't want to grind a gear, how about we wrap the show with the trivia answer?
Why not? So go back to where I had this. all right. So the question was, Pantera is not just a car. It's an actual word in the Italian language. Is it a type of bread, a particularly stylish type of trousers, a panther, or a small village on the Amalfi Coast?
Who goes first, Ben?
I'm gonna jump in here. It's a word, I think it's either the trousers or the bread. And I'm trying to remember. I'm going to go with the trousers.
Okay. What do you think, Dave?
It's the word for panther.
Yeah, it just seems to me like if you're going to come up with the car that did what the Pantera did, that you would name it after a cat, right? A big cat. So that's my first guess. But I'm intrigued by the idea of the Amalfi Coast, maybe just because I want to be there right now. But but I'm going to go with Dave and say Panther.
Oh, well, you two guys are correct.
Aha.
That was logic. You guys went with logic.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Not that I don't think a car named after culottes would be cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised nobody went for the stylish trousers option there. So
Pantera, pantaloons. So we should name a car Pantaloons next. Is that what we're going to do?
Yes, Pantaloons.
That would probably pantaloons be a Citroën product, but yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ben, for wrangling trivia, Grand Trivia Auto for today. And I think that's it. I think that's going to wrap it for the show. So if our listeners have a guest that in mind or someone we should reach out to, please drop us a note via our Facebook page. Just search for The Thing About Cars on Facebook. And as always, if you could leave a rating or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you catch our show, doing that makes us more searchable to other people. And we love expanding the size of our Thing About Cars family. So thank you for doing that. In the meantime, we hope you and yours are staying safe out there. We will see you with another episode in about a week. See ya.
Arrivederci.
Au revoir.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.